Councillor Akumalik, whenever you're ready, if you'd like to start with a roll call, you can do that.
Yep. Okay. Yep, that's Ross Patterson, CGS.
CGS. Mr. Uzula is not joining. Is that correct, Amy?
Correct.
And Martha's here from NTR. Del Turner.
Lindsay? Lindsay Turner. I don't know if Lindsay's is Lindsay attending or if she has another representative. I think she has a Maria attending.
Sorry, I heard Lindsay Turner.
Pardon?
Did someone mention Lindsay Turner? Sorry, I kind of missed the last name. I heard Lindsay.
We're wondering if anyone from Family Services is on the line.
Pardon?
We're wondering if anyone from Family Services has called in.
I'm just going down the list right now.
Ati.
Al Turner?
I don't think Lindsay Turner is calling in. I think it's going to be Jody Dirtle-Awa who will call in. I don't know if she has called in yet.
Okay. Thank you. Amy from the city is here. Joe Brown will be joining shortly.
Present.
Is that correct?
Yes, he's here.
Rod?
I'm here.
Rod? Shane Turner?
Here.
Yes, he's here.
Shane Turner. And he's with who?
Shane is with the city, superintendent for the utility or water and water services and truck services.
Okay. Tammy's here supporting.
Tammy is not in the room, but myself and Rod are supporting.
Okay, Jody will be joining when she can.
Yes, she should be coming shortly. I don't know. I chatted with her, I think, about 20 minutes ago, so she should be calling anytime now.
Okay, thank you. And which one is Tim Akavak?
I'm pretty sure it's Matthew Akavak.
Yeah, Matthew Akavak.
Okay. The bunny by Matthew? I think he's in his cabin. Anyway, I'm sure you have the agenda in front of you. We'll try the best we can to cover the whole agenda this afternoon. There's no minutes, but first of all, I'd like to welcome everyone to this meeting. It's very important for the city and the people, especially. The issue of cemetery has a very long history, and this advisory group will be integral part of moving forward. For some background, a little bit, the old cemetery by the beach was full, and there's a long history of that because there's a number of people buried there who were either buried by their respective religious group. Hello? Jody?
Sorry, I'm late joining. Yeah, it's Jody from Family Services.
Jody, for your information, we have a GN lawyer, Rod from the city, Martha Naudlock from NTI, R. Patterson from CGS, Martha from NTI, Shane from the city, yourself, Amy Elgusma from the city, and myself. Ms. Houston is absent, so is Matthew Akerbach. I'm just going to continue. Yeah, there's a long history, and when the city noticed that the old cemetery by the beach was becoming full, they did some work before, and they suggested that they would build a new cemetery by which didn't work out. But I do believe that has been turned into a park and given to the Rotary Club. There's also history on it. I think there's a rock solid core right under the mainland above the rock hues. Then at the end of the day, the city also recommended to build a new cemetery in Apex area. And as you may know, there has been some ongoing issues, and the city and the council and the staff decided to take on the issue to deal with how to move forward so that people in the community will have much better appreciation. There was a work being done long ago. Bylaws were introduced and passed, so we'll probably be hearing more of those later on. I'll give each one of you about a minute to introduce yourself, and just so that we know who you are and whom we are dealing with. I'd like to start with the GN lawyer. I didn't get your name. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. My name is William Liu, so last name is L-U. I'm here with Jody, essentially, to provide some input if there's any questions regarding the specific loss or anything of that nature.
Okay. Rod?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Rod Mumford. I'm currently the Chief Enforcement Officer for the City of Iqaluit. Prior to,
I
was the city clerk, so I have a good bit of knowledge in the background in regards to the burial permits, the process, and the cemetery site itself.
And Rod's also part of the city cemetery working group.
Martha?
I'm Martha Nalup, Mental Health Systems Navigator at Social and Cultural Development of NTI. And last year we had met with the city and various groups to get this started. And I'm really appreciative that the city is taking on this committee.
Good. Shane?
Shane Turner, I'm with the city. I'm the superintendent of sewer and water, and I also
said I can't hear you.
Shane Turner with the city of Iqaluit. I'm the superintendent of water and sewer, and also I'm on the city cemetery working group as well. Did you hear me?
Okay. Jody?
Hi, I'm Jody Girdle-Awa. I'm the Director of Policy with the Department of Family Services. I've been with Family Services for the past year. Prior to that, I worked with the Community and Government Services. I've lived in Iqaluit for 18 years now, so as a long-term resident, I know a lot about what's going on with the cemetery and the burial situation here in Iqaluit, and I am anxious to do what we can to figure out and come to some useful solutions for residents.
Thank you. And Amy?
Yes, I'm Amy Elgersma. I'm the CAO at the City of Iqaluit. And I am on the City of Iqaluit staff working group that for the cemetery. So we've been, we formed this group this spring, and we've been working on compiling in some information and coming up with some information for this committee, as well as some recommendations.
Thank you. I'm going to move along. I know there's some questions and concerns.
Councillor Coombs.
Pardon?
It's Mayor Bell speaking.
Oh, hi. Hi, Mayor Bell. Welcome.
Sorry, I was here before. I was here earlier than you joining. I just I just want to say my name's Kenny Bell, obviously. I am now the mayor of Calvert. This committee is really important to me and to the community, of course. But the thing I want to point out is that I want to make sure that all of the members understand that we are going to have some difficult conversations, and that we treat each other with respect when those difficult conversations happen, because we need to make change. We want to make change, and we want to do that in the best way to make sure that our citizens and the burials are in a respectful manner. So we need your input, and we need it to be honest. And I don't want people to feel worried about sharing their honest opinion, and I want everyone to make sure that we continuously treat each other with respect. So thank you, everyone, for joining us, and I look forward to, you know, making some movements here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Bill. You're correct, absolutely correct. We need to work together. I know that there's some questions and concerns by prospective organizations. But I think this is a good start. There'll be more as we go along. Going on to the agenda item number two, is there any declaration of interest? If not,
I hate to jump in and interrupt, but I feel like I shouldn't just listen without introducing myself as well. My name is Ross Patterson. I'm the manager of infrastructure programs with CGS. For the past few years, I've been working with the non-tax-based municipalities on morgues and mortuaries, and I'm happy to be a part of the committee, so thank you for the invitation.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't hear you joining in. I was calling out names for a roll call, and I didn't hear your name. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Okay,
Councillor Kumba.
Moving along. Amy, do we require translation in the institute?
We can ask the members if they require it. We do have Lisa here who is available for interpretation.
Anybody require any translation in the institute? Please identify yourself if we need one.
You can stay anyway if you want to listen.
I don't think there's none, but we'll move along. Thanks for being here, Lisa. And pardon?
It's Kenny again, sorry. We should adopt the agenda first, but...
Okay. You move to adopt
definitely
agenda?
I just definitely move, yes. Yep.
Is there a seconder? I need a seconder to adopt the agenda, please.
I'll second, Councillor Kumalik. It's Rod.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions or comments to the motion to adopt the agenda? If not, I'll do a roll call vote. Lou?
In favor.
Rod?
In favor.
Marcia?
My only question is the committee terms of reference going to be developed during this meeting, or is there one developed already? And from there on, I'm going to put the agenda.
I think that's the question. You'll probably get an answer when we get into that agenda item.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Patterson?
I approve.
Shane?
In favor.
Jody?
In favor.
Mayor Bell?
Sorry, I'm in favor.
Okay. Thank you. It's unanimous. So we'll get to right down to business. Number three, new business. 3A, committee terms of reference, and I'll get Rod to explain. Go ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Kumulik. I'm not sure. I believe, Martha, you may have had that question. I believe all the information items should have been emailed out. You may or may not have received, I'm not sure, but I'll follow up and determine. Everybody should have been provided with the draft of the committee terms of reference. If anybody does not have the terms of reference, if they could please advise, and I'll ensure that a copy gets sent over. So does everybody have a copy of the terms of reference with them today? And it should be titled as Cemetery Committee.
I have it.
Okay. You want me to read through it?
Just a purpose meeting stuff from there again.
Not to read too in depth into it for everyone, as it is available for reading. So there's been a draft for the committee purpose. Basically, the purpose of the committee is to identify priorities for the city of Iqaluit and the community as it pertains to the current cemetery site in Apex. You know, through public and community engagement with key stakeholders and government stakeholders, the committee will strive to bring forward community and agency concerns as it pertains to the cemetery site and funeral services to city administration and council. This committee is to provide strategic direction and leadership on matters relating to the current cemetery as well as future developments and improvements to the existing site. This committee will be more or less a conduit for informally relaying information from the committee to city administration as well as through council and other stakeholders in the community. I've listed the objectives of the committee to work in partnership with community members, government agencies, local parishes, and Inuit organizations to establish and recognize priorities to improve on the existing cemetery site, to develop new initiatives through forward thinking and strategic planning, and to consult with the residents of Iqaluit to determine the need of the community as it relates to the cemetery site. Also, the committee will review the current cemetery bylaw and make recommendations for a draft proposal. Further, to provide recommendations in order to establish cost-effective funeral services and other objectives as established by the members of this committee. Briefly, the membership will consist of up to 7 members at large. Ex officio member will be the mayor of Iqaluit. There will be 1 member of council. There will be representation from the city of Iqaluit administration. We will have representatives from Inuit organizations, QIA, NTI. Councillor Klimanik, we will also need to identify for an elder to be appointed to be part of the committee. We will have representatives from local church parishes, and we will also have representatives from the government of Nunavut. So we're looking at community and government services and family services. The meeting structure is straightforward, you know, as would any meeting of a committee of the whole and ad hoc committees. We're looking at meetings of the committee to be held at the discretion of the committee chair, or more frequently if needed. Agenda items are to be forwarded to the chairperson a minimum of 1 week prior to the meeting. Additional agenda items will be raised through the chairperson at the meeting and voted on by the committee. Agendas will be translated and circulated to the committee members 48 hours in advance of the meeting, along with the minutes from the previous meeting and any documentation required for discussion. As for quorum, we will be comprised of no less than 50% of the committee members for a meeting to go ahead. Meetings will be held in council chambers and simultaneous translation available. Meetings of the committee are open to the public unless resolved by the committee to close to the public for discussing a matter deemed to be confidential in terms of council protocols. The public may observe and, with permission of the committee, make representation on matters of concern. Delegations or public presentations must be arranged to the chairperson and the city clerk in time for the agenda. And the committee chairperson shall report its discussions to council as required. For the chairperson will be a member of council appointed by council. In the absence of the chairperson, another member of council will chair the meetings. This will normally be the ex officio member, being the mayor. The chairperson's role is to chair the meeting, coordinate and provide oversight of the committee operations, report on progress and take recommendations to council, and to guide the committee through council and administrative processes. The chairperson is the media spokesperson for the committee. So that's something we need to be mindful of, is that any media relations or times of speaking to the media, the chairperson will be that representative for the committee as a whole. Record of meetings. The administration is responsible for the preparation of minutes of committee meetings. Meetings of the committee shall be recorded, and minutes shall be approved at the next available committee meeting. Limitations. The committee does not have any power or authority to make decisions, but rather the committee will provide recommendations to council, and only upon resolution of council shall recommendations move forward. Thank you, Councillor Kumalik.
Thank you, Rod. That was very informative. For the members' purposes, you may contact Rod to get more, to get the hard copies of the terms of reference. I think the terms of reference set out a fair terms of reference as a start, unless anybody wants to add anything. I'll open it up.
This is Martha. I really do appreciate Rod for going over the cemetery committee document. I had no idea that this would be the terms of reference being used. I really do apologize that it was just part of a committee purpose, not an actual terms of reference. Pardon me for misinterpreting. I really do appreciate you, Rob, for explaining.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Martha. Anybody else? Mayor Bell, I need your advice. Should we introduce a motion to adopt the terms of reference
for Amy? I would move that.
Okay.
Sorry, this is Jody here. I have one question, actually, about the membership. I don't know if the city's been in touch with the Department of Health, the involvement of the hospital, and then from a public health perspective or an environmental health perspective, they may have some insight that would help this committee. I don't know if the Department of Health has been approached to be a member.
Mr. Chair, this is Amy.
Amy.
Thank you. So they have not been approached. We regularly consult with the hospital on matters pertaining to the deceased and so on. I would I would recommend keeping the committee at this size. And then if we do need advice or input from the Department of Health or from the hospital, that we invite them as a delegate or a guest.
Jody, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? I need a seconder. Mayor Bell move to adopt the terms of reference. Who's the seconder? I need a seconder. Hello, am I? Did I lose you?
I think you're still here.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
If there's no adoption of the terms of reference, then we might as well just hang up and call and ask for new people for members.
Okay, we'll call back again. If you're not listening, call back. Join us here.
Okay, I just hung up.
They need to be explaining that to them because they've never done committees before.
Not myself and Jane and you.
No.
I was wanting to run it like the other committee. It was more relaxed. And then the mayor asked me if it was going on the TV thing. And I'm like, we didn't do that. Because I wanted
it to...
Sure,
the mayor understands.
Okay, I'm going to call. I'm going to
call the mayor.
I'm calling the number again. I'm calling the number again.
Shit.
No, because we're staff resource people, so really Rod shouldn't have done that, but he was trying to help.
You
don't like the dead air time. I don't blame you.
They should all be forced to, you know what, if I send them an email and say, here's how it works, when there's a motion to the floor and you get a mover, somebody must second, and everybody votes. They all voted. They were good with it. Well, somebody say, in favor, I second. You know, it's like not that difficult.
Welcome to Northwest Bell Conferencing Services. Please enter your conference ID followed by pound.
I don't want this too formal, but this is what it is. This is what it is now. You know what I mean? Now it's an actual committee.
Thank you. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. If you are the moderator, please press star now. Please enter your PIN followed by the pound sign. To start or join your conference, press 1. To change account options, press 2. Thank you. After the tone, please state your name followed by the pound sign.
Amy, Rod, Lisa, Shane, Joe.
Thank you. You will now be placed into the conference.
Jenny. William Liu with the GN.
Ross Patterson.
Hello? Do you want to get back?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Do we have Liu?
Yes.
Rod?
Yes.
Martha?
Yes.
Patterson?
Yes.
Shane?
Yes.
Doty?
Yes.
Mayor Bell?
Yes, I'm here.
And Amy?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry for the technical issues. Whenever that happens, please call back in. We have a motion on the floor moved by Mayor Bell to recommend to the council to adopt the the terms of reference for the Iqaluit Cemetery Advisory Committee. I need a second, please.
I'll second this. This is Martha.
Okay, seconded by Martha Nogda. Any comments or questions to the motion? If not, I'll do a roll call vote, starting with Lou or Jody.
Sorry, my apologies, Councillor. So I am actually here to provide some assistance to Jody. So I know that I accidentally voted in favor of something before, but I shouldn't be a vote. I should not be a voting member of this committee.
Okay, thank you for reminding us.
Councillor Kumalik, just a procedural matter. This is Amy.
Pardon?
This is Amy. I would like to just bring up a procedural matter.
Okay, go ahead.
In addition to that comment, those who are members of the committee should be voting. The city staff are considered resource people, and they won't be voting. Thank you.
So it's going to be Martha, Jody. Who's the committee members?
And Ross.
Ross from CGS. Jody. Martha. Yeah. Mayor Bell.
Yep.
I believe that's everyone on the line today for voting member, unless I've missed someone.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the advice. Rod, how do you vote?
Ross. Sorry, I'm having trouble just hearing if you're saying Rod or Ross, but I assume Rod is a city staff resource, so I'm going to guess that that's me, and in which case, I approve.
Okay. How do you spell your name?
Sorry, Ross, R-O-S-S.
Okay. Thank you. Martha, how do you vote?
I approve.
Jody?
Approve.
Mayor Bell?
I approve.
Okay. I think it's unanimous. Unless I missed someone. So, Amy, is Rod or ROD a voting member?
No.
And it is Ross, right? R-O-S-S.
Yes, okay. Ross is a voting member.
Okay. Okay, so Ross, how do you vote?
Oh, I thought you already asked me. I approve.
Okay, thank you. Moving along, 3B, committee composition, identify elder member. And I think in the past we have indicated that we would need to maybe get a couple elders on this committee. And I haven't really... I approached one, but she was hesitant. But now I think we need to do some more. I need to do some more research or ask more people. And I think Martha Nautla would be an ideal person to suggest. I can work with her if that's okay, unless there's a better way to deal with this. Any comments?
Are you asking me directly? because I'm not shy to approach any elders within Iqaluit. I'd be more than happy to work with you with respect to approaching an elder to become a member.
Okay. I think we've indicated two, correct me if I'm wrong, Amy or Mayor Bell.
So sorry, what's the question?
How many elders?
The number
of
elders.
Yeah, so yes. This comes from the bylaw, this requirement. So in the bylaw, it's actually number 3. If you'd like to refer to bylaw 328, it's in the package. The council of the town of Iqaluit may appoint by resolution a cemetery advisory committee of no fewer than 3 people, one representing the elders of the town of Iqaluit, and one representing the religious leaders, and one member of council who shall function as the chairperson. So reviewing that, is it says no fewer than 3 people. So we've added to that list, Mr. Chair. And so we were looking at adding one elder representative to the committee that will represent the elders of Iqaluit, essentially.
Thank you for the information. Could the committee be unsatisfactory if we defer this issue to another date? Because I think we need to talk a bit more about. I'm confident in Martha Nalbrook to seek an elder and recommend to us if that's the best way, unless there's objections.
That works for me.
Anybody?
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Boss?
Yeah, likewise. That sounds fine.
Okay. Thank you. And Martha, I will work with you and keep the administration and the mayor and the other committee members in loop. How we are moving forward. Martha.
Hey, thank you so much, Councillor Akumari.
Okay, I don't think we need any motion or confirmation that agenda item is moved to the next meeting, and we'll move along to 3C. Committee site report, and I'll hand it over to Amy, please.
Thank you, Councillor Kumulik. Okay, so I just wanted to let you know what the staff working group is up to. So we had we actually formed a city staff working group to address cemetery issues internally, and then we could ensure that this committee had adequate information and we can help come up with recommendations. So it was actually really great that we had a number of staff volunteer to be on this committee, and these staff members are very committed to helping come up with solutions for the cemetery. We had a site visit a couple of weeks ago, and the site visit, we also had some of our Public Works roads crew attend the meeting on site to help us come up with a plan for some of the issues we've experienced. I'm not going to read the whole report, but you do have a cemetery report that was emailed to you today that talks about the site and some of the challenges we face, but as well as some recommendations for the committee to move forward. So originally when the cemetery was opened, there was issues with the soil collapsing into the graves, so the soil was slumping. And so one of the solutions that the city came up with for that was to build wood boxes, essentially a frame for the graves. And we've implemented that in 2016, I think, or sorry, 2018, I think it was. And since then, that has solved that problem. Other significant issues, of course, is the accumulation of water on the surface of the site, as well as water that accumulates inside the graves when those holes are dug. So the water on the site, a lot of these issues we're noticing is a result of permafrost degradation. And you know, what happens is when a grave is dug, then the soil is exposed to the air. And when the air hits that soil, we're noticing the melting happens and the graves fill with water. We address that right now by pumping the water out of the graves in advance of the funeral that morning, and then the staff come back and have to pump it again. So even if you pump the grave completely, you know, all of the water out of the grave, it always refills again until the grave is filled and closed up. So that's another significant problem. And then the other thing that's happening in regards to the permafrost melting on the site and whenever soil is disturbed is that the caskets are now sinking further and further into the ground, and the site requires additional fill and leveling. So for the past, I think since 2016, we've noticed these real drastic sinking of the graves into the ground. So that causes more water to pool on the site, which is muddy and very unpleasant for family members and loved ones who must walk through mud sometimes to visit their loved ones. So these are some serious problems that this city would like to address. One more thing that we did notice on site was that the pathways are also sinking, and roadways nearby are sinking and uneven. It's very drastic, actually, and very noticeable. And so these are some of the permafrost issues that we're noticing. Another observation was the cross is not in line with in a proper line. What we were explained by one of our city staff is that the reason that some of the crosses are not in the right place or the place that the operational guidelines dictate is because originally the cemetery site was set up so that there would be rows where people were, I guess, facing each other, so that people walking through the cemetery would walk between those lines. So if you can picture kind of like foot-to-foot kind of placement. And then we've been informed since that the tradition in Iqaluit is really to bury people so that they are facing the water. And so that's why some of the crosses are in the original state and some are facing another direction. It's hard to explain over the phone. If you need clarification, please let me know. So those are some of the issues that we wanted to tackle. This year, the city council has approved $160,000 in a capital spending plan for what's called Cemetery Softscape. And the intent of that project, when it was developed last year, was to do some landscape-type work where some tundra would be removed, some additional soil would be placed on top and raked and added to the site, and some beautification, as well as improving the pathway and so on. However, once we were on site and the group really put our heads together in terms of a plan, a more long-term plan for the cemetery, we've come up with a proposal that we'd like to share with you. We would like to propose raising the cemetery site by approximately 3 feet with suitable material like gravel. So the idea would be to essentially GPS and survey the site in its current state and ensure that everything is marked appropriately. And then we would, you know, remove the crosses and so on, raise the site so that it's crowned so that the water can then drain off the site and into proper ditches. So part of the project would include some additional ditching or some remediation of reprofiling of ditches. This would allow for, first of all, the drainage, but it would also allow for less degradation of the permafrost. So the graves would not have to be dug as deep into the soil. They would be dug into the new surface as well as into the grave into the soil partially. And this would also prevent the water from accumulating in the graves. And so that's what we're looking at doing right now for this site. And we are going to be looking into a design that would allow for this. And so we're just proposing a scope change to be able to work on some of these site issues. And then on top of that, this year we would like to address the pathway, level the pathway up, and do some work on site that we could manage ourselves, which is essentially additional material over the graves that are sinking and which will certainly help, as well as we need to install an additional 50 burial boxes on the site this summer. So our plan was to address the immediate needs, which is the pathway, adding the 50 burial boxes and some leveling of the site. And then the bigger project is to get a design done this year to raise the site of the cemetery to ensure for proper drainage and deal with some of the issues that we're facing with the accumulation of water in the grave sites. So that's what we wanted to share with you today. And we're certainly open for any questions from anyone on the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. That was a good, on a nutshell, report. I'm happy to hear it. I'm sure there's a lot of questions. So I'll open up for any questions with the committee members, Martha or Jody, Mayor Bell, or anyone?
Councillor Kumlik.
This is Martha. I'm just going to basically comment. I really do appreciate Amy for providing the report, the committee report. I really do appreciate you for providing a very good report and providing some insight of the work that being done and. The proposed work that's going to be thought of or the site design. I just want to thank all of you for thinking about this. And the only thought that came to mind is I am quite confident that you guys will be reaching out to all the individuals who may be willing to work on the design, with regards to the design, rather. The only thing that I would like to mention is, would it be worth working with Tower Arctic or those guys who have been working on the port over there to see if they can provide all the gravel for free? That's just my input. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amy, did you want to...
So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Martha. So I think that what's important is that once we can complete the design to raise the site, we'll have more information on how much material is needed and so on. And at that point, we'll look at how the project would be procured, or if there is interest in the community from our local businesses to be able to contribute to the project, that would be welcome as well.
Thank you. Follow up, Martha.
Thank you for the feedback, Amy, and thank you, Councillor Ekumani.
Okay. Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Councillor Kumlik, and thank you, Amy. Back when I was on council in 2012 to 2015, we approved this location, I think under false pretenses, but anyways, we're moving forward. One of the things that was talked about during that time was the raising of the cemetery in the road to nowhere, because it was on a hill and there wasn't enough granular, and council voted against that in hopes that this new place would be better. Clearly, it is not. I'm here nor there whether we do that. We obviously have to do something, but if the committee finds that that would be something that we should present to council, I am just offering to sit down with everybody that's buried there, his family, and discuss the situation with them after and explain how it's going to be all done on a one-on-one basis with each and every one of them to make sure that they feel that their loved ones are being treated fairly.
Yep. Right on. Yep. Any other comments or questions? Jody, did you have to go?
I actually do, unfortunately. It's out of my hands. I got a telehealth appointment that I just found out about this morning.
Okay. I'm just reminding myself. Any other comments or questions to Amy about the report?
I'm sure there'll be some Jody? Questions later on. Sure. Bylaw review. Rod? Thank you, Councillor Kumilek. So everyone should have a copy of Bylaw 328 that would have been sent out. So in relation to this bylaw is an older bylaw. Of course, from going through it, it is very straightforward. It is something we need to look at as a review and to come up with a draft bylaw in relation to the recommendations and the findings of this committee. So the bylaw essentially outlines what the city's role and responsibility is when it comes to the cemetery, the preparing for a burial, for us to establish and operate that site. The remainder of the bylaw touches on the interment of individuals, which is the responsibility of the funeral service provider. So the city essentially identifies the site, maintains the site, prepares the site for interment, and then that from there, that is the function and role of the city. So from there, it is the funeral director. So the bylaw identifies that the city to enter into a contract for funeral services. So basically that would be, to need to be looked at, to be revised, to draft moving forward. One of the things that the city has been doing in relation to this is we do complete the interment in the sense of that once the funeral has been held and the service has ended, we go back and ensure that it is a good quality standard. It is very respectable for the family and for the deceased. It also outlines, certain infractions and contraventions under the bylaw. So basically, that is pretty much a summary of the intent of the bylaw. And through the committee, we will look at drafting and referencing a new bylaw that can be brought forward to council for amendment, or we can repeal this current bylaw and adopt the new bylaw. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. I would suggest again to resend that bylaw to the members so that they'll have copies. Any questions or comments?
This is Martha. I really do, Councillor Akumanik, if I may. Reviewing the bylaw, it seems to be pretty well thought out, but I do believe that there'll need to be some amendments made to it. So further discussion would be good.
Councillor Kumilek.
Any other comments?
I think that as the committee, progresses, that there may, I think that there's time to kind of think through the changes that the committee would like to see. So I think as we start working through the issues, we can keep track of any changes we would like for the bylaw, and then a little ways down the road, we could propose some amendments or a new bylaw. Building on what Martha said.
Yeah, great idea.
Yeah. Thanks, Rod. I don't think there's any more questions, and will work along as things change, and will certainly make recommendations to the council if and when we have to. Thank you for the report, bylaw review, Rod. Moving along, I think that the next one is a bit sensitive, but I'll hand it over to Amy first for staff, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So our city working group did review some of the costs and some of the issues that we're aware of regarding costs and assistance for burials. There is currently one business offering funeral services in Iqaluit. The services available are transportation of the casket, funeral coordination. They also do preparation of the body with assistance often from hospital staff. Administration, arranging to view the body at the hospital morgue, the provision of a casket, cross, and name plaque. We do have sample costs from an invoice that we obtained in the report called Iqaluit Funeral and Burial Cost Report. So we did provide those costs there for the committee to take a look at, number two there. When we do look at this compared to, say, other jurisdictions, the costs are not more. They are often less than other places. But it's important to note that not all of the services that are offered, say, in southern communities, they're not all available here. And one of those examples is the embalming. So persons who pass away here in Iqaluit, they don't go through the embalming process. So that's something that is different as well. Previously, the funeral service provider was contracted by the city to provide the cemetery maintenance and the services to open and close the graves. The city did pay the contractor $1,200 per burial for these site services. And then through reviewing old invoices, we did learn that the funeral services provider did charge an additional $1,200 for the burial, for the opening and closing of the graves. However, in 2018, the city made a change, and we no longer have a contract with the funeral services provider, and the city has then took on the responsibility of the burials and site maintenance on site itself. So therefore, the city no longer paid the amount of $1,200 or paid anything to a contractor. Instead, we took on that role ourselves. And since then, the additional $1,200 it seems that it is not being charged anymore to the families, those responsible for the burial. So that has actually reduced the cost. And then I'll just note that the city of Iqaluit doesn't charge anything for burials. So the city of Iqaluit essentially subsidizes all burials. We don't charge anyone burial fees, and we don't charge for a plot purchase or any upkeep fees. So I just wanted everyone to be aware of that. So any fees that they do pay are for the other services that the funeral services provider does, including purchase of the casket, the cross, and so on, the transportation, caskets. But we do know that that the fees are prohibitive for many people, and that for families that are low income or families that are struggling, it can be very difficult. Many families have turned to fundraising activities to pay for funeral expenses, things like Looney Toonie sales and GoFundMe campaigns, and even unlicensed lotteries advertised in social media are quite common. There's also some concerns around quality and the value for money paid for some of the funeral services. So what we did do is we did also review some of the assistance programs that are common in other jurisdictions, as well as what might be available in Iqaluit for families or those responsible for burials. So we'll start with the death benefits and fee assistance programs. So there are some programs to assist families. but we did notice a significant gap for low-income families or those who rely on social assistance in Nunavut. Death benefits are available to those who have been regularly employed through their work group insurance program. And the Canada Pension Plan, the CPP, offers a death benefit that can be paid directly to the estate or directly to the funeral provider. And that's in the amount of $2,500. But you had to have paid into that to receive it. We researched almost all of the provinces. And of all of the provinces that we did research, they all have programs, assistance programs, to cover the cost for funerals and burials for the deceased. Except Nunavut does not have one that is, Nunavut doesn't quite have one that's the same. So Nunavut's program covers the cost of a burial through family services, through a public guardian, if they're through a public guardianship order, or if they're or if they were on medical travel and they passed, or if they were an escort on medical travel. So someone who's under the care of somebody who's on social assistance, they may not or income assistance may not have any other support to provide for a burial. So this is a significant gap that we've noticed. So the other territorial or provincial programs, they have acts in place, programs in place governed by their acts to cover the cost of burial and cremation. So they would cover things like the casket and the actual burial, the administration, the preparation of the body, and so on, and the transportation. So it seems that Nunavut is the only one that does not have a program like this. And so I think that's something that needs to be explored further. We also noticed that other jurisdictions under their victim services program, so if somebody were to pass because of a homicide, then the victim services would cover the cost of the burial, so they'd assist the family in that way. Whereas in Nunavut, we believe that is not the case. So that is another area that is that can be identified as a gap. So that's my summary. If there are any questions, I'm happy to try and answer them.
Thank you, Amy. I do have some comments. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, Counselor. I do have some comments to make with regards to the report that Amy presented. This is William Liu from the GN speaking. So first, if we take a look at Section 4.4, where it says that, the government of Nunavut would provide assistance for funeral and burials limited to people who have died while under the care of the Department of Family Services or through a public guardianship, that is accurate. However, I don't think that, to my knowledge, I don't believe that the GN covers burial costs for medical travel. People who have died on medical travel, and so I pulled up the medical travel policy that the GN has, and if we look at Section 6.34, the GN does pay for the return of the deceased if the client or the client escort or the medical escort dies while on the approved travel. They'll pay for the preparation for the body to meet the airline regulations, and they'll pay for the transportation of that body to the home community. But I don't believe that burial costs are covered under that medical travel policy. Now, of course, I could stand to be corrected. So if anybody has, might shed light on that, I would appreciate it. So that's sort of the first thing, the clarification that I wanted to bring up. The second thing, I do notice that, under 4.3 and also Section 5, the city has sort of listed a number of jurisdictions which do provide some level of assistance to low-income individuals who have suffered a death in the family. That being said, I don't think that necessarily the list of provinces where that is available is necessarily comparable to the situation that we do have in Nunavut. Specifically, when we look at the list of provinces that the city has provided, we're looking at Ontario, we're looking at Alberta and BC. Now, those are usually, those are provinces that pay in, you know, the federal transfer payment scheme, right? So they're the half provinces. And when we look at the Northern Territories, when we look at the Yukon, when we look at the Northwest Territories, and when we look at us, none of us were really in the position where those same kind of benefits that people might have in Ontario are available. So that might be something to consider. Not to say that the GN will not have that conversation internally about potentially expanding the scope of benefits available to people on income assistance. But I do believe that, you know, the list of jurisdictions where those benefits are available may provide a somewhat skewed understanding about generally, you know, what is available across jurisdictions in Canada. And lastly, I just want to mention one, you know, other issue, which is when we look at the nature and the amounts that are available to people who are entitled to receive these benefits in Ontario, in Alberta, what we see is not sort of, they're generally very restrictive conditions attached to them. So first, you know, I'll take any of them, you know, either the Alberta Income Support Program or the Ontario Works Program. First, an individual has to qualify for that program, right? And if they want to receive these death and funeral benefits, then there are generally, and, you know, and I do apologize if I get it wrong, because I'm not an expert in these programs in these jurisdictions. But my understanding is that there's a set of more restrictive conditions before that someone would be qualified. So they would be not only looking at whether the person is low income, but they would be looking at the total financial resources that are available to not just the person who has passed away in their estate, but also the survivors and the entire family. And if if the entire family has assets that go above something like $10,000, then they wouldn't qualify for those death and funeral benefits. And so that is something to consider in that, you know, I, of course, we do share, the GN and city do share a very close working relationship, but I feel that I might need to temper the city's expectations somewhat in that, you know, if the GN does have that internal conversation, and if we are looking to expand that, you know, the income assistance program, and of course, I don't have any instructions on that matter, so I can't speak to it. But, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be the kind of benefits that would be available to the general public that the city might be expecting. So those are the three points that I wanted to bring up to the committee's attention.
Thank you. Amy, did you want to add or anything?
Yes, please. Okay, thank you for the comments. So just do want to draw your attention to the references number 5 there. There is a fact sheet that is on the Government of Nunavut website that does speak to what is covered and who is covered in terms of the funerals and burials. So on the fact sheet, you know, it does talk about the medical travel. It does speak to remains being transported, of course, as you mentioned. Also, it does speak about the remains being prepared to meet the minimum airline regulations, including the provision of a casket. And there's a few other things. It does mention not the burial costs. We have been told that sometimes that is covered. So we would like some clarity there. So it seems that some of the...
Fair enough. Ms. Augustine, I didn't mean to, you know, be accusatory in saying that the reporter is wrong or anything. I do have the fact sheet in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it does look a bit confusing when I, you know, cross-reference it back to sort of the policy document. So I'll certainly, you know, speak with my client and get some clarification on that. But, you know, for you know, the city's internal, decision-making process, you know, my understanding so far is that, you know, it's only the return of the deceased to the home community that's covered by medical travel provisions and not necessarily the burial cost itself.
Okay. So, yeah, it does talk about the casket and so on, and we've been told that the casket is also provided. So, yeah, I guess some clarity on what is actually covered would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think that was good information. I think the general public generally knows the cost that must be paid for. They pretty much know who pays for what. So I think that was a good update. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, because it specifically says that the GN doesn't really pay for very much, but do we know what happens in all of the other communities in Nunavut? The reason I'm asking is because the GN funds everything in the communities other than Iqaluit, so I'm wondering if they pay for, or pay the Hamlet, and the Hamlet pays for the funeral costs, because it doesn't seem like there's that much complaints from every other community compared to, obviously, the complaints that we have here in Iqaluit, but also the fundraising that we see, the illegal fundraising that we see on a very daily basis for funeral costs here in Iqaluit. So I'm wondering if we could look at all other 24 communities, sorry, and see what is done there, because if the Hamlet's paying for it, then the GN is, in fact, paying for the burials, and then they should be helping us.
Good question. Lou, did you have an answer for that, or CGS?
Yeah, this is Ross. I can speak to that, perhaps not definitively, but I can definitely shed some awareness to the question. Over the GM does contribute to the, of course, the operational budgets for the municipalities annually, but the municipalities themselves are responsible for burial as it stands right now. They prepare the caskets, they grab the excavators, prepare the burial sites. You've got Hamlet staff that at times are untrained preparing bodies, storing bodies in less than adequate facilities. Now that's not in all cases. In some cases, the church or parishes step in for the services. But at all times, it all seems to happen in house and at the Hamlet's expense.
Follow up, Mayor Bill.
No, that was just my point, is that, the Hamlets don't have any other forms of income other than what's taken in from the GM. Their taxes are paid to the GM. The GM then pays the city's, the Hamlets' operating costs. So basically, if we just said, this is a responsibility of the GM, it's the same difference as every other community. I mean, I'm not getting to that point, but what we're saying is that the public clearly don't understand, one, how much it costs to bury somebody. Because down south, a $10,000 funeral is normal. That's not an unnormal number. And here in our town, it's around $6,000 total. The administration fee is taken. So the cost is actually relatively good. Now we have to pick their services, of course, but what I'm saying is that if the GM is paying for all of the burials across the territory except for Iqaluit, then there's a problem.
Yeah, so, sorry, Maribel, I just wanted to return. The GM is not paying for the burials across the territory. The Hamlets themselves are paying for the burials out of their operational budgets.
Yes, I mean, but the operational budget comes from the GM.
Yes, that's correct. But I guess in if you look at, the non-tax base are not able to raise the taxes to pay for those types of services, so it has to come out of their operational budget. Whereas the city does have the option to raise taxes to provide that service.
I think, yes,
that's understandable too.
Yeah, I think we can have this discussion for a long time, but I think Mayor Bell made a point that at some point we need to know the responsibilities of the CGS and us as a city, because my sister was a mayor in Arctic Bay, and she indicated to me that the hamlet has to budget 10 coffins each year, and that money's coming from the GN. So, and they've also were able to budget for a mini a place where they can put a deceased person behind the back of the church. So those are the kind of causes we're talking about. I would love to explore more details, the costing of from the GN, which is CGF, which department, and the fact that it's different here in the city. Unless you want to follow up Mayor Bell.
No, that's good. I think that, you know, I think I made a point, and Ross also makes a very valid point. The problem is that we can't raise the taxes. I mean, we do raise the taxes on a very regular basis because we have to, because of all of our infrastructure that is in disarray because the GN doesn't fund us properly. But that being said, I'm not trying to start a fight about our funding agreements, but like they legitimately are paying for 24 other communities to bury their people, but in Cal we get nothing from them.
Yes,
there's a disconnect there. We're not asking for them to cover everything, but you know we need somewhere along the line we need to come back together. We are one territory. We're just because we're a tax-based community doesn't mean we're not part of Nunavut. And the government of Nunavut continuously pushes us as a tax-based, oh, too bad, you're a tax-based community, but then they support everything else in every other community. It's kind of crazy the way it works. So, you know, that's a fight for me to have with the government on a completely different scale than here, but I just wanted to make that point that we do know that every other community is being paid for by the GN, and we get zero.
Okay, I think that's pretty well noted. On the other hand, I think regional Inuit organizations are also putting in some funds for bereavement and compassionate, which ease up some problems that low-income Inuit have. I know that when my daughter passed away in Ottawa, she was a resident there, but the TYA offered a bereavement funding for me either to transport her body to Iqaluit or we fly to her to the funeral. So those kind of benefits are also given to Inuit beneficiaries on the other hand. We've talked about other issues as well, but I think that's something. It was a good information, by the way, Amy, unless anybody wants to say something different.
Councillor
Kumlik? I don't have a whole lot of input with respect to the funeral cost. As I've mentioned in the past, of my frustrations on trying to assist individuals within the community of Iqaluit and trying to get the arrangements going. But it's always a mind boggle on who covers what and who cannot, and I'm really happy that we're having this discussion and that Amy is doing a really good job in reporting of the costs. And I just want to share one comment that was mentioned from a Facebook friend. I do know that I'm not really supposed to be including some personal comments, but it's been mentioned that one individual is encouraging an individual here who is from here in Nicaragua to get a lawsuit going with other people who are in the same state and bring it to the news and to the media. And, of course, City of Iqaluit, they say, and so this outcry is in definite need of being looked at and how to further alleviate the stress on families. And I do apologize that there's going to be some noise from my place. They're fixing the siding on exterior, so I'm going to end my comment right now. Thank you, Councillor Ekomenik.
Thank you, Martha. I think we're all on the same page about this issue. There are some issues that need to be dealt with, but I think as a whole, as a group, this is a good start. And Martha, don't be surprised if you hear a baby crying or something in the background. This is becoming normal. Mayor Bill, did you have any other comments you'd like to make for Amy?
We got to continue looking into this, obviously. And I think, you know, William made some good points, and Amy's information is awesome. But if we can, I think if one thing comes out of this, just to even start, and we could put in, like Martha says, a list of exactly where you can apply for funding, what is available, what isn't available, that would be like a good start document to leave this committee with, just to start with. And I think we have most of that information already, so I think that it would be relatively easy, but... That would help, and then we can continue on to try to get more funding and move forward in a different way after that.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if I can make a comment. Thank you. I would just encourage the members of the community to perhaps review some of the references that are provided in the cemetery and burial cost report. Just to see how other jurisdictions do handle the fee assistance and so on. I think it would be very beneficial for many residents in Iqaluit and for the community as a whole to see a program, a fee assistance program for people, for families who really cannot afford to bury their loved ones. I think it's very important. After the research that I've done, I've seen how it's handled in other jurisdictions, and I think it's really worth taking an in-depth look at. So I would encourage everyone to start to take a look at some of those links, and then maybe we'll have the opportunity to, say, advocate for and help, maybe even help develop a fee assistance program. And I think that's something that I know I would like to see, And I've heard the struggles from many of the community members when they're trying to fundraise to pay for the funeral services. So I think that's something that I would like to see. Thank you. Hey, is everybody still on the line?
I am.
Okay. Councillor Kumalik, are you there?
I think maybe we lost Councillor Kumalik. Is everyone else there?
Jorn, is he?
He's back.
Lost a couple people there. I think everyone's back now. No. Councillor Kumalik, are you back? William, are you there?
I am here, yes.
Ross, are you there? Martha, are you there? Amy, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so I guess we lost Ross, Kumalik, and Martha.
Dorn, is he?
He's back.
I'm sorry, I got kicked out. So, unless there are any more questions, I'd like to move on to the last item.
Councillor Kumalik, we're missing Ross and Martha, too.
Oh, okay. Maybe they'll call back in 2 seconds.
Yeah, give it a sec. Give it a couple minutes here, or give it a minute, and I'm sure they'll call back.
But I think we've pretty much identified what the priorities are.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we're pretty much done.
Thanks for joining us, Mayor Bell.
Of course, this is really important to me. Really important to all of us. I think maybe we could just call it a meeting there with, it automatically cancels when there's not enough members anyway. So,
okay.
we've done our priorities, and I think that we have a good start to move forward with your meeting.
I think the first one was to the terms of reference, and then me and Martha will work on identifying an elder member, and we need to adopt the
Laurel.
Sorry. There's actually another call happening in this line, this conference call line. So we're gonna have to end this and hang up.
Laurel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye bye. Holy jeez, that was difficult.
Well, my lord. Joe was off the hook today, anyway. Yeah.
That was terrible.
Joe was off the hook every day.
You think so? Yeah. Did you update our CA?
I haven't updated her. Well, I updated her on the one thing. There's something else she needs to be updated on, too. Unless she's on a phone call.
On that same issue?
No, different issue. The other issue is the 1057.
I just got a received call from him.
Did you?
1057.
Meter.
Yeah, and I bet you there's a reason why, because of the conversation I had over.
He updated you on the vehicles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who the frick? He hasn't told me who yet.
He's going
to be shaking in his boots. Ron and I talked about it last night.
One second. There's another issue going on right this second. Community services meeting right now. Meeting right now, but I'm not going.
Oh, you talking about...
Just give me a second.
Are you talking about Matt Wilkins?
Yeah. Okay, what's going on now?
So, I got a hold of George finally. George's on vacation. I got a hold of him. He's in Newfoundland. I told him... I had a conversation with him.
This is being recorded.